Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive. In a short week for football around here, long week for World Series and baseball hirings and a new Orioles manager, and always in for crab cakes. We're having two locations next week. This week, we are at State Fair on Tuesday. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. I will have Raven scratch-offs to give away. Had a lucky batch out of Costas and Timonium last week, where we were joined by the great Dave Shinen talking some baseball from the Washington Post. You'll hear that this week. Brian Frosch, our former attorney general, talking about the Constitution and emoluments clauses and why you can't just like wipe out the East Wing of the White House, amongst other things. This guy is politically active, but they're more active usually when Cal and Stanford are playing on a football game or that sort of thing, or when he wants to come and debate various football things with me. He is a football historian. He has voted on the Pro Football Hall of Fame for a long, long time. And the word out of Gainesville, Florida, is that he makes a hell of a bagel as well. Jason Cole is our defending champion of all things offense, defense. And I just want you to know, Cole, I'm going to give you a chance to promote your bagels in a minute, but when I saw Matt Ryan interviewing Joe Flacco on the field as Flacco was about to play in a Bengals uniform, and I had to break out Purple Rain 2 to go back to all of my draft coverage from 08 about how the Ravens really wanted Matt Ryan and it worked out okay with Joe, and Joe's got a ring and Matt Ryan doesn't, and you and I were probably sitting 50 feet apart when Matt Ryan screwed that up along with the Falcons. But I did go back right here, page 343 in the Opus Iliad that is Purple Rain 2. And there it is, dancing on the edge of chaos. That was December 10th, 2012. That was a question posed by you in a Super Bowl year. So when the team was 1-5, I thought, I got to call Cole. We got to talk about what dancing on the edge of chaos really is around here.
Well, that's we're at that point there. When at that moment in time, they did respond by winning a Super Bowl. So, the edge went towards greatness. So
well, that's why there was a book written about it. You know, when you fired,
I know.
You yeah. showed up. They exactly. fired the offensive coordinator Christmas week. That's where that reference comes from. Correct?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it's and hired Jim. Who's the
long Caldwell?
Jim Caldwell.
Caldwell. Yes.
Yeah, and put Caldwell in charge. Yeah, got rid of Cam Cameron. Brought in Jim Caldwell. And all of a sudden, magic happened, and they got serious, which was great for them. This is a little different situation. Like this is the tools of a great team still exist here. Is it going to happen this year? Probably not. I think that the Zach Orr experience right now, I have questions about, because I think their defense. This is the most vanilla, unenergetic Ravens defense I've ever seen in 25 years. Is that maybe 26 years?
Well,
I
go back to Ray dancing and setting the place on fire before it begins. Now we've had fans pile out of that stadium the last couple of weeks. That whole defensive mojo of we're going to get after your quarterback. We're going to give you hell on four downs if you decide to go that far. The pass rush isn't coming, Jay. I mean, and I don't know what DaCosta would have up his sleeve for deals or draft picks or where they would be, but I know the way they think, and they think they're going to win the division at 9-8. And then go raise hell in January because, as you pointed out, they got a lot of good football players here.
They have really good football players. They have the most, again, the least active defense I have ever seen from a Ravens outfit. I've never seen one that is not active, especially along the defensive line. I mean, you go back to the championship days, you know, Sam Adams and Siragusa. Yeah, I know everybody talks about Ray and the pass rush, but the real key to that first championship team with that great Ravens defense was Adams and Siragusa had career years at the same time. So you took two guys who are incredible talents and had them play at the top of their ability for an entire season, right? So they were amazing that year. On top of the fact that you had Ray Lewis and you had Bull Ware and you know you had Rob Burnett, you had a really deep defensive line. You had a really deep secondary. You know, like that was a great, great defense. And that set the tone for an era. You know, like that, they have lived off that for 25 years. And now we get to this year. And the first 3 weeks of the season, I don't recognize anything about what used to transpire for for what was a Ravens defense. And I don't know if it's Zach Moore, because I'm not there every day. I mean, I'm not there at all. And I don't know, what the plan is, but they're not good. And I know they don't have a lot of star defensive linemen, but they have quality depth on defensive line that they should be better than this,
Well, they thought
right?
that. When they lost Madubuike, that's a nightmare. See, they lost
I understand,
Madubuike,
yes.
Roquan, Marlon Humphrey were all gone, not to mention Lamar on the offensive side the
But
last couple, 3 weeks.
before all those guys, I'm talking about week one and week two,
Well, and then they
right?
dealt Oweh away to pick up a safety because inherently, Jay, you know they wanted to move Kyle Hamilton back to being in a game-wrecking position and not playing as a traditional safety. The only way to do that
Right.
was to get a real safety. So they've sort of traded Oweh for Hamilton. They're never in base. Their base is a nickel in a general sense. And they're really missing Ar'Darius Washington, that they've had to make amends for that. But they have
Okay,
nobody to
but
rush the quarterback. I'm in agreement with you.
right. And they don't do the things that fake it, if that makes, like when Rex Ryan, who was one of the former defensive coordinators, didn't have great defensive linemen. I'm talking generally, like whether he was in Baltimore or with the Jets or wherever he was. If you're lacking great defensive linemen, what do? You answer by doing, shenanigans up front. You run twists, you run stunts, you run overload blitzes. You change the numbers up front to cause havoc and confusion. You dance on the edge of chaos with your fronts when you lack talent. So what I see is, okay, we're going to line up and just try and get after the quarterback without doing a lot of exotic stuff. And again, I don't know if that's Zach or some philosophy thing, but for the and I haven't watched them the last 2 weeks. I'm just gonna be I have watched other teams because I'm not really concerned with where the Ravens are right now, especially when Lamar is hurt. Like, they're gonna struggle without him. So I haven't watched them on defense a lot. But when they were healthier at the beginning of the year, I just didn't see anything. I didn't see anything that hinted at creating problems.
Jason Cole is here. He is our historian. And I don't have a lot of time with you today, and it's a short week, and they're playing the Dolphins, and the Dolphins came back to life. And we could talk about Flacco and Aaron Rodgers and bad uniforms and all sorts of things out there. But this injury report, and in our time together, I've known you going on 3 decades. The notion that I don't think you and I have ever talked about point spreads gambling, it's become part of the furniture of the conversation now in a way that I don't discuss the game that way. I've talked about the game a certain way for 30 years, but the injury report for your purposes and my purposes was how defenses were going to design to play offenses, how Cooper Rush's offense is going to be completely different than Lamar. But the point spread moving 5 points on the lies of the head coach and the general manager under the disguise that everybody in the building is just going to pretend that Lamar is going to play. John Harbaugh's working on Schembechler rules from like last century. And then there's the reality of the point spread and the reality of gamesmanship versus lying versus Saturday saying, we're going to redo the designation of the full versus limited because he ran scout team yesterday. So he fully participated. This is quite frankly, Jason, as a former media member who was exterminated like a cockroach by Chad Steele and John Harbaugh, this is part of their bullshit. You know what I mean? Like they just make it up as they go along and nobody's watching. It feels to me like the NFL's watching big time, and the FBI would be watching after the NBA nonsense when a line moves 5 points on a Saturday afternoon and everybody in the building pretty much knew he wasn't playing.
Yeah, I mean, like this is the problem, and this is the problem that is incurred by marrying yourself to gambling. Is all of a sudden information gambling is all about information, the best of them. And where do you get that information? How do you get that information? And what teams don't want is they don't want insiders who give away, like they don't need Damon Jones. They don't want what happened in the NBA with Damon Jones reporting about what happened to LeBron James and what kind of condition he's really in, right? Like, that's a really gigantic problem they're trying to avoid. Now, it exists in the NFL. Don't fool yourself. There are too many people who have access to too many people, to too many players, and too many coaches who do, and those that first group that have access. And I'm not talking about reporters, okay?
I'm
But
talking about the
you're
tight end that's been out there all week who has a cousin in Alabama who just texts him and
forget.
says whether Lamar's going to play or not, right? Whether it's for gambling or not, the truth is the truth and the truth comes out. And that's really
Right.
problematic as it
Well,
involves.
but there are like there's all these low-level assistants on every team, okay? Guys who are trying to make, who are making 30, 40, $50,000 a year, who have access to information because they're in the building, they're in the room, and they're the ones who are the most easy to influence. Okay, or there are guys who are on the team who may have gambling or drug problems, okay, and they're in deep for it. They have access to information. And though and look, I've been on private websites that had better access to better injury information from 20 years ago. I've been on those sites where they're gamblers and they're saying, here's what's exactly wrong with this guy, because they're paying people for the information. And what the NFL needs to avoid is having that become standard operating procedure. And when coaches lie, and I'm not just talking about, Harbaugh and, what happened here, but when coaches or teams are misleading about practice and whether guys will play or what's going to happen, then you're opening the door for your low-level assistants to have more power, more juice, and therefore be influenced by gamblers who are doing anything they can to pay for the most information.
Well, and I think in the case of the Ravens, what is their responsibility? Because Harbaugh doesn't think that way. He's the most paranoid human I've ever met. And they are all willing to lie about whether I'm a media member after 30 years, Jason, whether Justin Tucker would have ever done anything, whether, I mean, they're willing to lie to win. Winning is all that matters to them. I've been around them for 2 decades, 3 decades in some cases with DaCosta and others, and they do treat it as though private business, state citizen. They treat it like a governmental operation. And you know that. You've been around the most paranoid of
Sure.
paranoid, and Bill Belichick and Tom Brady taking air out of footballs that I absolutely believe they did because they never fumbled the football in Foxborough over years. So I think there's some evidence, and then there's some. The obvious truth, which is when a guy's not practicing and you're listing him as something that he's not, I don't know what the league is going to do about that. My feeling is in a week when the FBI and Trump's goons and Cash Patel went after the NBA, that the NFL at this point is probably going to make a real clown out of Harbaugh and the Ravens and take a draft pick and really, really gin this up because this is a two-time MVP. It moved the line 5 points on the day before, and they were dishonest, clearly.
And they also happen to be in the, in the backyard of Washington, D.C. And so, yeah, and Trump has, he has friends in the NFL, but he also has, enemies in the NFL because they wouldn't let him into their little fraternity when he wanted to buy the Buffalo Bills. So, yeah, I mean, there's going to be some of that unless they take action and take serious action. So, yeah, it's going to cost them a draft pick. It could be a third rounder, it could be a fourth rounder, but it'll cost them a draft pick. And look, John Harbaugh, look, I think John Harbaugh in his heart of hearts is a decent guy who let, and I know you have a difference of opinion here, okay? But my
I always
interactions.
believe that. I bet my career on that, Jay, by the way. I bet my career on the fact that he was a decent guy. I
I
did.
understand. And what happens with John Harbaugh is he keeps pushing the line and pushing the line and pushing the line because he's a Harbaugh and he was trained as a Harbaugh to always, push and push and push. And right now there's nobody there to push back against him, either within the organization or outside the organization, who can tell him, John, you need to just stop. You need to not do this anymore. You need to stop acting this way, because he will listen to common sense, most of the time. Unlike his brother will not listen to common sense. But John will listen to common sense because there is a good person inside of John Harbaugh. Again, he just keeps pushing limits and pushing limits. And unless somebody says, dude, you've gone too far, then he doesn't wake up from it. And that's the problem you have, because he will have a logical conversation. I just think that it's sort of like Mike Shanahan when he was a great coach with Denver in the 90s, and they had that great running team. One of the things, Mike Shanahan was a brilliant designer of offenses, which is why Kyle Shanahan is that guy now. Just genius stuff. And he loved throwing the football. But he had Alex Gibbs as an assistant coach. And Alex is up for the Hall of Fame this year. And the value of Alex Gibbs is Alex Gibbs would stand next to Shanahan during games. And he would, in the most, and sometimes the rudest ways, go, you need to run the ball. Alex Gibbs would say to him, no, stop throwing it, run the ball. We need to do that. And sometimes you just, genius people need a reminder every once in a while that their ideas, not all their ideas are great.
Last thing for you, Jason. Jason Cole is here, by the way. Tell me what you're doing. I mean, you've written books on the Broncos. You bring up Elway. You bring up all this stuff. I want to give you a little oxygen to talk about what you're up to right now before I go back in on Lamar and in on offense.
Well, I bought a bagel shop in Gainesville, Florida, 7 months ago, called the Bagel Bakery. Not the most original name in the world, but we do a great bagel. It's been in business for 26 years. And I just thought, this is number one, it's just something I really wanted to do. We give 1% of everything we make to local youth sports that I love, because my kids grew up here, and they rode in high school and in middle school here. I love the community here. We're about 2 miles from the University of Florida, and we make a great bagel. And I like bagels, so it's just kind of perfect. I've always wanted to do this. I thought for years and years and years, I really wanted to buy this place, and I was negotiating the guy for years. COVID hit, that put the kibosh on it back in the late teens. And so 2020, I couldn't do it anymore. And then back around 2023, it rekindled the idea and said, if I'm ever going to do this in my life, I have to do it now. And so I'm doing it, and God, it's great.
Well, I'm
It's
going to come
so
down.
great.
What I need to do is when I get to Gainesville, I need you to take me on the Tom Petty trail. So like there's got to be some
That's
Southern
a that's a
rock
that's a
tour.
that's a that's a that's a varied and that's a wild trail. Let's just put it that way in this town.
Well, hey, man. I mean,
Hey,
I'm ready to do it.
Penny Fest is coming up later this month. You should come down. I'll send you a message.
There's a
But they have a
Petty
Tom
Fest. Really? All right.
Petty Fest
Might
is
not happen
coming up
this month, might happen next year, though. I mean, I
next
did get the
year.
Albuquerque balloons in finally after all these years last month. So
Yeah.
I
See,
am on
there
the
you go.
trail to doing different things. So,
There you go.
all
But
right.
I'm having a wonderful and wild time.
The Bagel Bakery, if you're in Gainesville, Florida,
Can't.
look my pal Jason Cole up. All right. So, last thing with Lamar and the offense and your belief that 1-5, 2-5, Miami, Minnesota over the bridge, the Jets, the Browns, I mean, they have winnable games here. I hear you on the original sin of not having a pass rush. Where are you on the Ravens in their cosmos of having this ultra incredible player, this revolutionary player, not being able to win in January? You still bought in that DaCosta and Lion Harbaugh and Lamar and Roquan and this group, Ronnie Stanley, that they can write this thing and play a playoff game in January to give themselves a chance?
This year?
Yeah.
No, not this year. I don't think so. I think they're in too deep a hole. Now, who knows? Maybe I'm wrong. I mean, with Cincinnati out of it, Cleveland's Cleveland. The Steelers, they're just okay.
They have four games left with Cincinnati and Pittsburgh. And all I'm saying is winning the division might be 9-8. It might be.
It might be. So maybe there is. There has to. My biggest problem, I just keep coming back to the defense. Okay. it's so incredibly flawed. And that's even before you get to the Lamar Jackson, what is he in January? Will he have that game? Now, look, I've said this many times. I didn't quite believe in Lamar early. He has made huge strides. I think he's a great player. He is not Patrick Mahomes, who I think is the best quarterback in the league still. I don't care about stats. I don't care about anything else. I want guys who win games. He's not quite as good as Josh Allen in a playoff atmosphere because he's not quite as pure a thrower. But we're talking about just the most microscopic of differences between those two guys, right? Joe Burrow is different, but Burrow's not part of the equation this year, and he's kind of a China doll at this point in time. He just, he gets hurt and dinged up too often. So, look, I love Lamar Jackson, and I think that there is somewhere in his career in the next 6 or 7 years, there is a championship to be won. I'm afraid, however, it's only going to be one championship that he wins in his career. I think that he's going to, and he'll be fortunate to win that one title in his career because of the fatal flaws. Like, he's missed three opportunities already, and three really good opportunities to win championships, especially the last 2 years. And it's like, like they just, you end up like Dan Marino. They just don't come up that often. Or you get dinged up and all of a sudden you lose four or five games and you're not a good playoff seed. I mean, the story's been written so many times over so many different quarterbacks that I'm afraid it's going to apply to Lamar, that it's going to slip away. And the other thing with Lamar is, and we always have to remember this, there's going to come a point in his career where he slows down. There just has to be. And are you going to be able to generate another Derrick Henry, who is the perfect complement to Lamar Jackson, who forces defenses to account for the running back first and not have to play Lamar first? That opens everything up. I mean, like, Derrick Henry is a unicorn himself in this era. And so, like, there are a lot of factors that last year was a big miss. And this year is a normal miss because of injuries and because of your transition on defense. Like, this stuff happens, and then all of a sudden it's like 1 year becomes the next, and it's like, is he ever going to win a title? And I'm really afraid that's what's going to happen with Lamar Jackson.
You know, I should bring this up with you because you are the great historian of all things. Jason Cole is our guest, a longtime NFL insider. Burt Jones came back for the 50th anniversary of the 75 Colts. And the 75, 76, 77 Colts, they were my first childhood team after Johnny Eulough. But we lost Marty Domras as well a couple of weeks ago. He passed away here, stalwart in the Baltimore community. And I'm getting Bill Troop memes sent to me when Cooper Rush can't get out of his own way and they're scoring 3 points in front of Tom Brady's making fun of him in the broadcast. But I would say this, you know, to you all these years later, I was a season ticket holder in the late 80s for Randall Cunningham and Buddy Ryan and Rich Kotite and that Eyebaldy was on those teams in the late 80s. And this, you know, you mentioned Marino, these missed opportunities, you know, I mean, I'm going to be in Nashville later in the week. Steve McNair and how, I mean, they came a foot away. You and I were down in Atlanta that night. So it's just that missed opportunity part of how close you get and how quickly. The Orioles found this out. Being an Orioles fan here, the sand goes through the hourglass quickly. The Lamar thing, really, we are getting a little weird here at 1-5, and he's not playing. And I just, I'd hate for it to be the Burt Jones of this era, or the Randall Cunningham, or the Dan Marino, because I think to some degree Lamar deserves more than that.
Yeah, he does. Because Lamar Jackson has done as much or more. Lamar Jackson is a talented overachiever. And when I say that, I reserve that for like some rare guys. I mean, like the Michael Jordans of the world. Michael Jordan was a super talented guy who also had the overachiever gene. Wanted to maximize that. Kobe Bryant had that kind of gene in him. Larry Bird, was like that. I mean, there's just a series of guys who they have some kind of flaw to their game, and they work really hard to get rid of whatever flaw they have in their game. And Lamar Jackson had a flaw in his game early on in terms of the way that he threw the football. And he had, I, it didn't, we all thought the motion would be a problem. He fixed it using the same motion. And I admire the hell out of Lamar Jackson. I think he's one of the great stories of a player who's taken his talent and really maximized every ounce of what he is. And I give the Ravens a lot of credit of designing an offense around him and taking a chance on him, okay? And understanding the parts that you need around him to make the most out of Lamar Jackson, okay? I love him as a player. And again, first couple of years in the league, I was like, yeah, I don't think this is ever going to work. This is too hard to fix. He fixed it, man, and he proved me wrong. And I love that about Lamar Jackson. But now we're getting to a point, it's like, all right, what's happening here? This is that season where the injury gets in the way and something doesn't work out. I've just seen this, I've seen a story. And again, I come back to his career may not be as long, at top level, because he depends so much on his legs. As the saying goes, I'm sorry, Bob Dylan was right. Now, the what is it, the slow one now will later be fast. That doesn't happen in real life. Sorry. The fast one becomes slow, and then all of a sudden you can't play anymore, and you can't do the things that you used to be able to do.
All right, but look, I'm looking at the Bagel Bakery. I'm looking at the vibe here, and it's 4.5 stars right on Google, so you know it's good neighborhood hangout with hot cold sandwiches for breakfast and lunch, plus organic coffee, which I like, and espresso.
From Guatemala, we bring it from Guatemala, a little town in Guatemala. We give to the people fair trade coffee from Guatemala. There you go.
All right, man. It's been there since 1999. It looks like a lovely spot to have some Wi-Fi. Most important this time of year, you have some pumpkin spice something on the menu for me this week?
Now, better yet, I make a pumpkin bundt cake with cream cheese frosting that everyone should buy instead of pumpkin pie for Thanksgiving this year. Pumpkin bundt cake.
All right, listen, I'm not, I don't think I can do Petty Fest this, but keep me in mind in the future that I've been to Gainesville for a Gators game. I went down there many, many years ago, a Yank Gator, your Gator bait, all that. I ain't coming for any of
Exactly.
that. I'm coming for you, for bagels, and probably on my way to Tallahassee to catch back up with Peter Boulware as well at some point, I
Well,
guess.
and we will do a couple of days. You can do the show from the Bagel Bakery.
I want
How's
some
that?
Apalachicola oysters shipped in. I
Oh,
want you people down there to make a Maryland style crab cake for my crab cake tour so I can make fun of you in Florida for all of that.
you don't want crab cakes in Florida. That's
Right.
weak.
Give me some
That's
stone
weak.
crabs up here. Bring them up from Joe's. All right.
We'll do stone crabs. There you
All
go.
right, Jason Cole is here. Maybe bye week next year we'll have a Petty Fest or something. I don't know. You got me interested. I didn't know there was a Petty Fest. Now that I
Well, it's
know.
pretty fast.
All right, well, it's on the bucket list, as are bagels at the Bagel Bakery in Gainesville, Florida. Jason Cole has covered the National Football League for about 4 decades. That's all. Written books, votes on Hall of Famers, and now the man makes a bundt cake for crying out loud. You're my hero.
Bagels and bun cakes, B&B, baby.
My next life will be a yoga instructor, and you can come. That's what I'll be doing when this whole thing falls apart and when Harbaugh and DaCosta finally get rid of me. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. Man, my tastiness tour. I need to do a North Florida tastiness tour of my Curio friends. Stay with us.